Amen. Let's go to the 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. So I'm finding that the people have a hard time because of the times being thankful. You know, we tend to believe that thankfulness is a direct result of having received something. And in a sense, you're right. But it doesn't have to be something natural. We need to understand that spiritually, we're always receiving things so we can always be thankful. Because when you get something, it's just proper to say, thank you. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 in the King James Version says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And some people have a problem with that because it says in everything, give thanks. You don't give thanks in everything. Yes, you do. And you'll see why as we go along. And those of you that know me know that when the Lord highlights a scripture to me, I look it up in every available to me, translation, commentary, whatever I have. And I really like using Pastor Rick Renner's materials because he is a Greek scholar. And I can get a truer meaning of what the scripture actually is talking about. And so I looked up in that verse and it cleared up some things for me. And when I read it in different translations, it kind of sealed it. Because there's always been differing thoughts as to whether you thank God for all things, but not in all things. But the verse says, in all things. It says, in everything. So that includes, everything means disappointments, tragedies. It means no matter what comes, thank God. You're not, thank you, Lord, that I fell down and broke my leg. No, thank you, Lord, that because I fell down and broke my leg, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. And so I thank you that even though this accident happened, you said you caused me to triumph in Christ Jesus. You said you'd work all things together for my good. So thank you, because even though I don't see it, you will work it out. So I can say thanks. If I'm disappointed, I can say thanks. Because if I'm disappointed, that just means that I had my trust over in the wrong place. Because my Father never disappoints me. It's like, thank you, Father. You've even fixed my disappointments so I can put my focus back on you. So really, no matter what comes, we can give thanks. And the only reason why we won't do it or don't do it is because we choose not to. And our choice, our free will, does have a lot to do with it. But there isn't a circumstance that can happen to you that you can't stand tall and say, thank you, Lord, because of one of his promises. And he has a promise for everything. But looking up that phrase, give thanks, I find it to be more of a commandment. Because, well, first of all, it's giving thanks is the opposite of complaining, you know, grumbling or moaning. But when I look up the word in the Greek, when you look at the Greek meanings of that word, it's an all-inclusive phrase that literally means in every circumstance. So when the Bible says in everything, it means in every single circumstance, no matter what comes, you give thanks. You give thanks. Paul said that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he left no room for doubt. We're to be gracious, grateful, and thankful attitudes, regardless of whatever situation we find ourselves in. Now, when we have a thankful attitude, we put ourselves in a position where God can continue to open new doors, continue to keep bringing new things in front of us, instead of comforting us and trying to build us up and trying to get us to realize that he's good. When we're grateful, when we're thankful, God doesn't have to, we're already built up. We already know who we are. We already know who God is. The Passion Translation, that same verse, says, let your joy be a continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. So I was looking at this, I said, there are three areas that require our focus if we're going to stay thankful. We need to have boundless joy. We need to continually pray. And we need to give thanks to God no matter what's happening in our lives. We just continue to give thanks to God. Praying continually and giving thanks to God no matter what happens in our lives, it forms what the translation says is a wonderful expression of Christ's life within us. When we can give thanks, we're not echoing, we're reflecting the life of Christ in our lives, because we're always being thankful. And if we're not being thankful, it's because we're ungrateful. You say, well, Pastor, that's kind of strong. Well, it's also very true, because you're not going to say thanks if you're not grateful for what you have or what you've received. You're not going to say thank you. You may say, is that it? You may say, that's not what I wanted. I remember someone once was believing God for a new car and got it. But they didn't look happy, and so I asked them, I said, well, what's the matter? I don't like the person who gave it to me. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you don't like God? No, and they mentioned a particular person in their life. I said, no. That person didn't give you the car. Your Father God gave you the car. He just went through this vessel. And so you need to be grateful for the car, grateful for the obedient vessel, and grateful to God for giving the instructions. So you have three reasons to be grateful. So you should be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Instead of, yeah, I want the blessing, but I want it to come from through somebody else. Just because someone blesses you doesn't mean that you're linked at the hip for the rest of your life. It just means that that person heard from God and God wanted to bless you. Doesn't the Bible say, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will people give into your bosom? Did you expect to be walking down the street and all of a sudden a Lexus just drops right in front of you from the sky? That would be nice, but it doesn't happen that way. And some people, too many times, offer up Thanksgiving like it's a promissory note. Well, yeah, I'll give God thanks when my bank account's full. That's like saying, okay, I only have $100 so I can't tithe. I'm believing God for $1,000. When he gives me the $1,000, I'll give $100. No, you thank God because of what he said he would do. If he said, I'm going to give you $1,000, thank you. Period. And every time the thought comes into your thinking, every time you put your hand in your pocket or look in your wallet or look in your purse and you don't see the $1,000, thank you, Lord, for the $1,000 that you said is coming. Thank you. I believe it. So I give thanks, or we need to give thanks, because if we trust God, if we believe what God said, his word is like having the thing right now, because you know it's going to come. You know whatever God said he's going to do, So no matter what happens, you can say thank you. Growing up, I wasn't in Christ, but I was in mommy. And if anybody bothers me, I tell them, look, thank you, because now you and everybody else is going to know just who I am. Because my mommy's going to come here, and she's going to fix you and you and everybody else. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to show folks not to mess with me. Now, I wasn't being spiritual. You know, actually, I was being kind of smart alecky. But I knew that I could trust on mommy to take care of me. So I was grateful. And I didn't care what happened or who I had to face. I knew mommy was going to be right there to clean it up. So however it had to be done. If she needed to patch me up, she'd patch me up. But I knew she was going to take care of me, so I was thankful when things happened. I didn't know I was operating a spiritual principle. But great things happen when you give thanks. Look at Luke 9. It's in the Passion Translation. Most of you are probably familiar with this account. Starting with verse 12 in Luke 9, it says, as the day wore on, the 12 came to Jesus, the 12 disciples, and told him, it's getting late. You should send the crowds away to the surrounding villages and farms to get something to eat and find shelter for the night. There's nothing to eat here in the middle of nowhere. Jesus responded, you have the food to feed them. They replied, all we have are these 5 small loaves of bread and 2 dried fish. Do you really expect us to go buy food for all these people? There are nearly 5,000 men here with women and children besides. He told his children, have them all sit down in groups of 50 each. After everyone was seated, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He gazed into the heavenly realm and gave thanks for the food. Now, he didn't take those loaves and fish so that he could run off and eat them for himself so he'd get a quick blessing and thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive. For nourishing my body in my name, amen. No, he gave thanks because this was food. What he had was food to feed over 5,000 people. He's not it physically, he doesn't even have enough food for him and his disciples. But he's thanking God because, as far as he's concerned, God's going to make whatever he has work for all of these people. Verse 16 says, then in the presence of the disciples, he broke off pieces of bread and fish and kept giving more to each disciple to give to the crowd. It was multiplying before their eyes. Before their eyes. What do you think would happen if Jesus didn't say thank you? See, in a dictionary, thanksgiving is described as a public celebration and acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. Divine, which means thanksgiving, that word was specifically created for God. To give thanks to God. Just saying, God, I believe your word, so thank you for providing these people, doesn't really show that you're overwhelmed by an inner feeling of gratification and grace. See, like faith, thanksgiving requires more than just the word. If you believed and you thanked God, then the only thing left for you to do is to act like you believed him. You have to act like you believed him. In John 11, verse 41, the account of Lazarus, Jesus told his disciples, Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick unto death. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And then he stayed where he was 2 days. He said, okay, we're going to go Our friend Lazarus is asleep. We're going to go and wake him. The disciples thought that he was actually talking about going to sleep, like taking a nap. And Jesus wanted them to know that life had left Lazarus' body. So he said to him, Lazarus is dead. We're going to go and wake him. And when he got there, he had, you know, encounters with Martha and Mary, and he looked at all the people mourning. But when he got to the tomb, and he told them to take away the stone, and they tried to stop him. They said there's going to be a stench because he's been in there 4 days. Jesus said, take the stone away. Well, before that, he said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And they took the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Well, what was he talking about? Because at that point, there was no evidence that God heard anything Jesus said. Lazarus was in the tomb, dead, stinking up the place. And the people were mourning. There was no evidence that God had done everything. But Jesus said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Heard what? Everything he said from the time he got the news, quote unquote, that Lazarus was sick unto death till that moment. So God knew that Jesus believed that he was the resurrection and the life. God knew that Lazarus was going to rise again because Jesus said so. God knew it. And Jesus knew because he said those things, God heard them. That's why the scripture says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, what we ask, we know we have the petitions that we ask for. So Jesus asked. He spoke, he believed, he gave thanks. So he said, not only did he say, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, he said, I knew that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. I want these people to know that they can give thanks to you before anything happens, because they're sent just like I'm sent. And it says in verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Up until no evidence, now think about that, giving thanks with no evidence that things are going to happen. No evidence that things are going to change. But having so much trust and so much faith in God that you're going to give thanks anyway because you know God's going to do something. And you know what he's not going to do is leave you hanging out there. And you're operating according to his will. He's obligated to help you. And because you know that, you say thank you. It's just that simple. You say thank you. So it doesn't matter what comes. I was talking with my baby sister. We talked for 3 hours last evening. And we were talking a lot about God and the goodness of God and how he works and how he does it work. And we were talking about you have to believe what God says whether you see it or not. And if you believe what he says, whether you see it or not, you thank him for it because you know it's coming. You don't know when, but you know it's coming. And that's really all we need to know. All we need to know is God said so. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you said it, I believe it. And then we act on it. It says, Ephesians 5, verse 20, in the King James Version, says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, I was thinking about something. because it's Thanksgiving. You know, and I believe that if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you don't need a season of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is our lifestyle. But during this time, because of events that happened 400 years ago, we have a time of Thanksgiving. But we're in the midst of a pandemic. And there are people, some of who may be watching tonight, because of the pandemic, you've lost a loved one. You've had family members die as a result of catching, quote unquote, the coronavirus. There are people who have lost their jobs because of this pandemic, and folks aren't out going to the theaters. I mean, they've lost their businesses. A whole chain of theaters just went out of business all over the country. And they have employees that I'm supposed to give thanks that I lost my job. I'm supposed to give thanks, you know, that my grandparent died, or my mother, or my brother, or, you know, how can I give thanks for that? Well, I'm going to answer that question directly in a few minutes. But first, I want to just spend a short period of time just talking about the first Thanksgiving. When the pilgrims first came over here, 102 pilgrims and 30 crew members boarded the Mayflower to come to the New World. Four of them died on the way, on the trip. And they had a horrendous time on the trip. So now they get there, four of them have died. They go to this place and they realize, we haven't brought the proper building materials to build shelters and things. And it was fine when they first arrived there because the weather was fine, but then they had to go through winter. A total of 45 out of the original 102 died that first year. They died. Overexposure, some starved to death, and they had a pandemic. They called it the great disease or the great illness, and it's believed to have been pneumonia. But 45 of them died, and about 12, 13 of the crew members died. They had to face being stranded because the crew and the captain were threatening to leave the pilgrims stranded to take the Mayflower and drive, and I'm going to say drive back, and sail back to England and leave them there. But those that remained, even though they had lost husbands, I think it said 12 of the 24 men that had families died. Some of their children died. Most of the women survived. But a few of the mothers and wives died. These folks got together in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of all that death, in the midst of all that confusion, and said, we're going to have a Thanksgiving celebration because we made it. We're here. God has provided for us. God has sent people into our lives to help us. And the Native American tribe, or the, I think they call them now, political correct term is the Native American citizens that were there. The Wampanoag tribe. And they gave thanks to God for bringing those people into their lives. You say, well, they didn't treat them right in the future. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about right then and there, in the midst of all that chaos, they saw where God was still moving on their behalf. Yes, they had loss. They had damage. But they didn't lose everything. They gained friends. They gained some knowledge. They were taught how to build. They were taught how to farm. They were taught different foods that they could eat. They gave thanks to God for that. And their Thanksgiving celebration lasted 3 days. In the midst of all of that devastation that they were experiencing, they took 3 days to give God thanks because they survived. See, they knew that their loved ones wanted them to survive. Their loved ones didn't want them to die there. They wanted to fulfill their dream. They wanted to realize the reason that they came. If they hadn't toughed it out, where would we be right now, 400 years later? What type of country would this be? We don't know. But they toughed it out. They went through pandemics. They went through death. They went through. What's the word I'm thinking about, Lord? They went through controversy. Had to deal with cliques. Had to deal with folks being against them. Had to deal with threats of leaving, being left stranded without nothing. They were told they were going to be at the mercy of the Native Americans who were not going to like them. All of these things they had to deal with, and they gave thanks to God because they figured God would have to do something. Because one of the reasons they came there is they wanted religious freedom. They wanted to be able to believe God the way they wanted to believe God. So if you've been a quote-unquote victim, well, before I go there, let me say this. One of the things I was talking to my, I like calling her baby sis, she's the youngest in my family. But one of the things that I told her, what we were talking about, was that God will come through, and it doesn't matter if it doesn't look like it. All that matters is that God said it. And if he said it, you can count on it. No matter what, you can count on it. So if you've lost a loved one, you lost your job, lost your business, whatever, however way you were a victim, quote unquote, of this pandemic, you need to understand, first of all, that God already took care of that because he said, thanks be to God who always causes us to do what, folks? To triumph in Christ. Why do you suppose the scripture said he always causes us to triumph? Because we're always going to go through something. Why do you think Psalm 103 says he healeth all my diseases? Why do you think the scriptures say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all? See, we mistakenly take those scriptures as meaning nothing's going to happen to us when it means just the opposite. It means you're going to be attacked from every side, but God was going to deliver you out of them all. So when the attacks come, thank you, God, because you're delivering me from this. In all things, for all things, because of all things, I'm grateful because of what God said about it. He told me it was going to happen, and he told me what he was going to do about it. It's happening. He's going to do exactly what he said. So you can thank God because even though you may have incurred the loss of a loved one this year, you know, because of this pandemic or for whatever reason, you know that a time of healing, you can thank God because a time of healing and hope is coming. Because God, he said in Psalm 23, he's a God who, he said, he restoreth your soul. That means he heals your emotions, your hurts, your wounds. You can be thankful because God had put people in your life where you can go to for help. He's put people that you can be open and honest with in your life. when you just need to talk. God has provided you with people where you can just go and say, I just need to talk to someone. Thank you, Lord, you've provided me someone I could talk to. And yes, we can always talk to God, but sometimes we want to see another physical person. Sometimes we want someone to hug us. Thank you, Lord, you've provided someone that could give me a big hug when I need it. You can say, thank you, God, because in my pain, you comfort me so that then I can be a comfort and a blessing to someone else that goes through this. Thank you. And you can say, thank you, Lord, because you've allowed me, you've enabled me to change my focus from one of pain to looking on the many good things that I still have in my life. See, we seem to forget those things when tragedy happens. All we think about is loss, 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 loss. We don't think about what we still have. You're not being disrespectful to that friend or family member because you go on. You're honoring them. Someone said to me, or actually that they asked me would be more accurate, when Pastor Clinton went to heaven, they came, they put their hand on my shoulder, they got that sad look on their face, and they said, you have to be devastated by all of this. I said, I'm not going to dishonor his name and everything he taught me by falling to pieces. This is an opportunity for me to prove that I learned everything he said. I listened. I can demonstrate that what he taught is the truth. Now's not the time for me to fall to pieces. Now's the time to stand tall and move on, move forward, because the one who left told us, whether we're here or not, God's word is always here, it's always true, so you keep going no matter what, regardless of what happens to us. So I had an opportunity to practice what he preached, to prove that it works. So no, I couldn't be devastated. Will it be tough? Yes. Was it tough? Absolutely. Was it painful? I don't know what sweet bippy is, but you can bet it. Yes, it was painful. But will God bring you through it victoriously? Yes, yes, yes. He will, he did, and he'll continue to. If I continue to trust him, if I continue to thank him. So really, folks, it all boils down to this. Let gratefulness and gratitude rule your life, and in every situation, you'll say thank you. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the people God has allowed into your life. Even the ones, as my father-in-law used to say, that are a pain in the foot. Be thankful to God. Doesn't the scripture say, first of all, prayers, supplications, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and all that are in authority? That's what it says. That means when we're to be thankful for all rulers, all that are in authority. Not just the ones we like. It doesn't even mention like. So liking them must not be important. Otherwise, the scripture would have said, make sure you like them first and then pray for them. No, it said, first of all, supplications, prayers, and the giving of thanks. And that's where we miss it. We don't give thanks. We need to stop complaining when contrary situations or people show up. And even when it seems like we have less than what we need, we still say thank you for what we have. One of the things that I found out is that I don't need as much as I thought I did. Things happen, you make an adjustment. I found out I didn't need to eat as much food that I ate. I found out I didn't need as much clothes that I think I need. And so whatever I have, I thank God for it. Period. I like nice things, but I thank God for the things that I have, because at one point I thought what I had were nice things. If God said he would provide, he said he would, then he will provide. So no matter what comes, folks, or what doesn't come, what happens or doesn't happen, you can make a choice to always be thankful. You don't need to wait till the fourth Thursday in November. Thanksgiving for the believer, like I said, is a lifestyle, not a holiday. And no matter how tough things get, be thankful. How can you be thankful for that? Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. So, but be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. I've taken away his power to harm you, is the way the Amplified Bible puts it. And I've conquered it for you. Thank you. Because I don't have to do it. Always be thankful. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your families. Don't take what I said in the beginning literally. You don't have to eat all the food tomorrow.